John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
And again, Thursday morning to you, and welcome into Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. NFL season begins tonight in Kansas City. Chiefs hosting the Texans. Boy, do we have a lot of things to get into today, including our predictions. Can they be better? Well, at least for some of us, than the NHL playoffs? Hope so, at least for me.
Speak for yourself.
I said for one of us, or for some of us, and then I clarified.
Not for me.
And I said for me.
Some of us feel all right.
Yeah.
Feel all right.
You should. You guys should. My picks stink. They've been awful. Although I'm feeling pretty good about the Lightning winning it all, I start to believe that they are the team of destiny. Although I said that about Dallas too, out of the West, so they've got work ahead of them. I'm not sure why I changed. I said Vegas clearly looked like the best team in the West, and for whatever reason, I changed and said I've seen these runs before, and this looks like the magical run by Dallas. But we'll see. Long ways to go. Series even up at once. We got a lot of things to get to on the program. Darren McFarland, that's me down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. You just heard Willie Donick over in East Nashville, Chase McCabe out on the west side.
Or
Bellevue.
Am I?
Oh, you're not. You're back at the studio.
Yeah, I am.
Psych. Okay.
Well, I wouldn't.
I do that. I do that every now and then just to, you know, just to change it up.
If I was a psychic, I'd be picking a lot more games correctly.
You'd be winning the lottery. You'd be in Vegas every weekend.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly would. Speaking of that, we will start up a very special segment that we're going to do every Friday at 1 o'clock with Lee Sterling tomorrow. So we'll talk about our picks. We'll talk about the games going into the weekend, because right after Lee, we'll have pick six for the first time this year. Yes, pick six. Can you believe it? And today, we begin silly underdog picks.
Woohoo!
Myself, Chase McCabe, Kelly Holcomb, and the defending champ, forever Titan, Chris Sanders. We'll be picking a college game and an NFL game this year. You, the listeners out there, continue to pick three games, but the slate just got a little bit bigger because the college slate is smaller. We've now added NFL games. So college and NFL. For you, the listeners out there, and Willie Donick is back as the commissioner. We'll find out if he kept his notes, if the dog ate them, if they burned in a fire. I mean, you just never know if he's going to be able to recap or not. The only thing we do know for sure, I feel pretty good about this, he's got to make it two more hours, that he'll actually be here and on the show to actually do that. So I feel good about that. I'm going to lock that one in. So, guys, with all that being said, how are we doing?
I'm excited. Today's a big day. It's opening day for the NFL. We had plenty of weeks during this show in the spring, in the summer. We weren't exactly sure if this day would start on time. But give them credit. The NFL has done what they need to do to get started. And we've got our fantasy rosters. We've got everything ready to go. We're ready to watch some football. Let's go.
I'm feeling extra good today because the NFL kicks off, and my Braves put up 29 freaking runs last night, so that was pretty awesome.
You know what's really interesting about that, though? It counts as one win. That's what's interesting.
Well,
if they win 2-1, it's the same record afterwards. You know, isn't that? That's
you're going to be that guy because your team
didn't
do it.
It counts as one win. No, that's really it.
There's always you. There's always that when somebody's team does something, just sets a record and out of the ordinary. I know all wins count the same, but you got to be that guy that just goes, yeah, you know, just it's one win. It just, you know, they all count the same. If the Indians did that, you'd be in here screaming, be a believer.
And let me tell you something. If they lose the next three games and they score three runs in three games, you won't give a damn about the 29 runs they scored last night.
No,
you'll be saying, what? What's going on? Where'd all the offense go? Where's all the production? They just lost three in a row after they scored 29. It doesn't mean anything. It's one game.
Yeah, but the Braves can hit. The Braves can hit. Their issue is pitching. Their issue is pitching.
Is it? Really?
100%.
Oh. It took us to the 29-run game to figure that out?
No.
Sitting here in September?
No, no. I think if you look at their lineup, when they have Acuna and they have Albies and they have Freeman – and Ozuna, that's a lineup. Now they have Markakis back. It's the lineup is the least of their trouble. They have a starting pitching issue, a big one, but their lineup is really, really good.
And that's why they're in so many of these games, because if the starting pitching doesn't do it, they get runs later in the game, and then the bullpen is able to pull them through. I mean, that's how they've won some games, but. Yeah, come on. Just let me have this one. Let me enjoy 29 runs. Adam Duvall, another three home run game.
It's Chase. It's what they have to do. Okay, and that's fine. You can enjoy it. All the Braves fans out there.
But you have to be the baby Ruth in the punch bowl.
There were other teams that scored 19 last night, and we've seen 20 something runs.
One other team
this year. Well, okay. Guess what? A team scored 19 runs last night, and so did a team score 29.
Man, what is going on? This is supposed to be like a pump
up
beginning of the show.
The Rockies scored 23 a week ago. Right? Or not, I'm sorry, the Giants.
We're all in a good mood, Darren. Why rain on the parade? I mean, the Mets had a nice little comeback win last night. It's nothing to write home about, but I feel good. So try not to.
On the
You're
parade.
Bringing everything down.
Oh,
you're bringing everybody down.
Cleveland lost 3-0 to Kansas City.
Right, so that's why you're upset.
He's just like, you know.
Spread some of that around. That's all I'm saying. Spread it around.
Well, score four runs. That's all you needed to do.
They don't need to score 29 to win games, Chase. That's the difference. The Indians don't need to do that because they have pitching. They can get batters out. That's the difference. But
you just got to come in and rain on my parade.
But hey, congrats for one win. That's awesome. And guess what? They're going to win the division. Spoiler alert.
Let's say this, though. I got to give Adam Duvall credit. The guy was in the minor leagues last year around this time. He's got 2-3 home run games this year in the short season. That's quite a turnaround for that guy who happens to live in Nashville now. So we give him a little tip of the hat, a little Nashville salute.
Does he?
He does.
He has 2-3 home run games.
And he had
only drove in, what, 9 last night?
Yeah, 2.
Well, he did hit a grand slam to make it 29-9.
But no,
so
if
that
you
was
look at his home
one.
Runs, he went two. He had a 2-run homer, a 3-run homer, and then a grand slam.
Are they going to throw at his head today?
I
mean, you can't do that, right? You can't hit a grand slam when you're up 25 runs, right?
It depends on what the count is, apparently.
Oh, I guess.
I don't think it was 3-0.
I'm so confused on what you can and can't do in baseball. So
we
I guess in this case, you can.
Now, if he had swung 3-0 when it was 25-9, that might have been a problem.
Oh,
I would have
no.
understood that.
That would be just
25-9.
Just a horrible thing.
Yeah.
Horrible.
25-9 is a little different than whatever the score was in that Padres game. It was like 6-1 or it was run deficit was like 6 or 7 runs, which is that is you can come back on that.
No, I think it was
It wasn't that
like
lopsided.
11-1 or
no, 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 no. It was not that lopsided.
Well, I do remember the stat was more than 7 runs. After what was it? After 7 or something like that, and they had just lost a game like that the year before, the Padres.
Yeah.
So that's remember.
It was not insurmountable when he hit that grand slam. It was not an insurmountable situation. 25-9, I'd say, going into the bottom of the seventh, I think the lead was safe.
It is interesting how
although the guy did get a save, Darren. This is another rule in baseball that people kind of roll their eyes at. No matter how big the lead, is, if you pitch the last three innings, Darren, if you went on the mound in the seventh for the Braves and protected the 25-9 lead,
don't
which
like
became
it.
29-9, you get a save if you finish the game.
Yeah.
So a three-inning save. Silly. Who was it last night? Bryce Wilson?
Yeah.
He got the save. He got the save in that game.
I think he got the win, too.
No, you don't get the win and the save.
Well, hang on.
I think Tommy Malone got the win, and he got bombed.
No, Grant Dayton got the win.
And how many innings did he pitch?
Let's see.
This was under the category of somebody had to get the win.
1.2. Tommy Malone went 3.1, did not get credit for anything because he gave up 8 runs.
He gave up 8 runs, and you got to go 5 innings to get the win.
He does not have a win as a Brave. Dayton went 1.2. He got the win, and then Bryce Wilson went 4 innings.
Picked up the save to protect that very tight lead that he was inherited.
Unreal. 2020 baseball.
It is weird. It's kind of like college football. I've noticed there's a lot of lopsided games, and I just wonder. I go back to what we were talking about. College football is a little bit different because they're starting to let fans in, but it was more about what they haven't been able to do. But, I mean, I don't know if it's the fans or what, but, I mean, when do you see baseball? I mean, 19-0. You know, the Giants beat the Rockies 23-4, 29-9.
There's been a few of those.
Last night the Giants win 10-1. I mean, you just don't see that in Major League Baseball. And I don't know if it's because...
Oh, I don't know if you don't see it. You see it some, but I think the issue is you have
less... No, we see it all the time, though, this year.
But you have less... Well, I think what it is, you have less days off. So if you've got one that's getting out of hand, you save your pitchers because you got to come right back the next day. There's a lot of doubleheaders that are happening. So I would like to know if it's more than usual. I don't know that it is. You mentioned the Giants. Mike Yastrzemski continues. The Giants are 23-21. They're going to be in the playoffs unless they completely blow it here. They've got a really good shot. Who saw that coming? And Mike Yastrzemski is a huge part of it. He had another home run last night. He's slugging .576 as a leadoff batter. He's got a .402 on base percentage. He's making diving catches all over the place. He has been incredible. Incredible.
Who has scored the most runs in Major League Baseball to this point? Don't look.
Like, ooh. You mean overall or in one game?
Overall.
Overall. For the season.
I'll just take a guess on the Dodgers, but I don't know. Mookie hit another home run
last night,
by the way.
Good guess, but incorrect. They're up there. They're top three. They're third.
I would say, I mean, are the Braves up there?
The Braves are up there. They're number two.
Ooh.
See, I'm thinking it might be an American League team. Well, okay. Milwaukee?
No way.
No. Not even close.
Okay. No, they can't hit. That's Christian Yelich was under
200. They're actually one of the lowest scoring teams in the league.
They're not good.
One would think it's got to be an American League team, right?
I would think.
This is the reason
How about the Rockies?
No. How about it's not the Rockies? Rockies are kind of in the middle of the pack. It's the Padres.
The Pods.
The three highest scoring teams in Major League Baseball are all in the National League.
Hello, DH.
How about that?
The DH makes a difference for the National League. Padres are exciting.
You think the National League's going to lobby for that?
I'm kind of at the point. I'm at the point now where it can stay.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Do you think there'll be some of that going on?
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Because that would not be the case, right? I do not believe that would be the case under normal circumstances. True?
Yeah, probably.
I just think when you have the DH, it makes so much difference, not just having that particular hitter, but just protecting the pitcher. A lot of times the eight hitter gets pitched around. The eight hitter is kind of weak in the National League. You tend to see a weaker lineup. It just makes the lineup so much stronger. So I think the DH is probably going to stay.
All right, we'll come back. Mark Slaball on the other side from ESPN. You're listening to Darren Donick and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Becker on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, the game on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Let's talk a little college football. In fact, we had Tim Hasselbeck on yesterday. He told us he's going to be a part of the UAB in Miami, Florida broadcast tonight. So that will be a college football game on the docket this evening. Mark Slaball joins us now. He's a columnist for ESPN.com. Mark, how you doing?
Good, guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Do you think after the first couple of weeks of the small sampling of college football games that we've seen that SEC coaches are excited that maybe they're starting a little bit later so they can work on some things? It's been a little sloppy early on, which was to be expected.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was the big question. How disrupted had camps been? I was absolutely stunned by how bad Navy looked on Monday night, and then to hear camp out to Malolo say that they didn't even tackle or have scrimmages. I mean, it was amazing how far that set them back. But, I think that's the big question mark going forward. You know, how much work did teams in? We saw Tennessee over the weekend have 44 guys out and not be able to scrimmage. So how much depth do you have? How much time did you miss? I think we're going to see some sloppy football to start with.
If indeed the Pac-12 and the Big Ten does not start until spring, or at least in 2021, we've already seen some players saying they're just going to opt out and just enter into the get ready for the draft. How much do you think that truly is going to affect them? If that's indeed what they do, how bad do you think it's going to affect the rosters, in your opinion?
I've had coaches tell me it'll look like a JV roster.
Oof.
If they wait until after the first of the year to play football, I think guys like Justin Fields, there's no way in heck they're gonna play. I think that's just too close to the draft. There's really nothing to gain. I hope we see some movement over the next week or so to where the Big Ten and the Pac-12 solidify their plans and maybe by Thanksgiving, they're off and running. How will that affect the college football playoff with the other three leagues who are playing? Wait to see, if Ohio State plays an eight-game Big Ten schedule and goes undefeated, would that be enough to get them into the playoff? I think those are the questions that will be addressed over the next several weeks. But, if they can get to play in mid-October, early November, get in 8-9 games, I think that's would be best case scenario for everybody.
What do you think, as we're going to start seeing some of the bigger name teams, starting tonight, but in this weekend, and moving forward? What do you think the level of play? What are we in for? I guess starting tonight with everybody was excited the first 2 weeks. There wasn't any really great matchups, any great games, so to speak. But now maybe that'll change. But what are you expecting?
I think better football than we saw the first couple of weeks. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I didn't watch much of it the last two weekends just because even the matchups we thought might be interesting were absolute blowouts. I think Duke Notre Dame, Clemson, Wake Forest, you want to see what those teams look like coming out of the gate when the SEC starts in a couple of weeks. I think the level is going to be better. Those are teams that have more depth, that have recruited at a higher level than everyone else. You do have a couple of offensive linemen out because of contact tracing or positive COVID cases. I think they're going to have better players to plug in there. But, I think the most encouraging thing from the first couple of weeks is that Central Arkansas has already played, seven times and played all over the country. And, they've had no positive tests. I think if I'm a college football coach or a commissioner or an AD, I'm pretty encouraged about that.
Talking to Mark Slaball, college football writer for ESPN. Mark, I know one thing that has happened here that kind of opened some eyes was when Newman, the quarterback for Georgia, decided to opt out. Where does that leave them quarterback-wise? And is this a smart move for him? I mean, I guess time will tell. You can't blame anybody for opting out under the circumstances. But what's next for him? What's next for Georgia?
Yeah, I told DJ Shockley, the former Georgia quarterback, I was on his podcast yesterday. I said, you can't criticize a kid for opting out in the middle of a pandemic, but you can criticize the kid for waiting so long to make the decision. I think if you're going to do that, you do it back in June or July and give your teammates and coaches a chance to adjust and not be up against the wall when they have to do it. You know, I think he's a second, third-round pick, according to most NFL draft experts. You know, I think that's probably his best where he's going to be now, maybe later. You know, I don't think many NFL teams will criticize him for the decision. He did what he thought was best for him and his family. You know, I think if he'd played in the SEC and Todd Monken's offense and played well against some of the better defenses in the country, you know, he could have been a first-round pick. You know, in terms of Georgia, you know, JT Daniels, the USC transfer who arrived on campus in May, I think he'll end up being the guy, Kirby Smart, who said that he hasn't been completely cleared to play in games. He has been practicing, he has been scrimmaging, but he's been off limits in terms of contact. So, you know, I think if he's cleared, and I would expect that he is, I think he'll be the guy in that offense that'll be starting against Arkansas in 2 weeks.
I'm looking at your preview of the league. You still like Georgia to win the East. You also think LSU will take a step back. Tell us about that. Why?
I mean, Georgia, you know, I think regardless of who's at quarterback, I think their defense has got a chance to be the best in the league along with Alabama. Everybody coming back. Dan Lanning's done a fantastic job there. They're really deep in the secondary, really deep at linebacker. You know, I think they'll be able to run the ball. In terms of LSU, I had them number two, and I dropped them to number three. You know, I think they lost a dozen guys to the NFL draft, including Joe Burrow, the Heisman Trophy winner. They lost Dave Aranda, their defensive coordinator, is now the head coach at Baylor. Joe Brady, the passing game coordinator, who got so much credit last year for what they did on offense. He's with the Carolina Panthers. And then you had Jamar Chase and Shelvin opt out. You know, Ed Orgeron said there could be a couple of more. I just, you know, they've still got talent. You know, we'll see what Miles Brennan does at quarterback. They've still got some players at wide receiver. John Emery, who didn't play much last year, is going to have to step up to help him at tailback. Eric Gilbert, true freshman out of Atlanta, tight end, is going to be a matchup nightmare for everybody in the league. You know, I could see him finish second. I went with Texas A&M just because I like Kellen Mond at quarterback. I think he'll make some big steps under Jimbo Fisher. And I think it's about time Texas A&M gets a return on its $75 million investment.
Mark Schlabaugh is with us. Mark, speaking of LSU, let's ask a basketball question here. You broke the story not long ago about a guy that is from our area, and Will Wade. We've always marveled how he's danced around and gotten through. He seems to have nine lives with all these violations that seem or allegations that come up. What about these latest ones? It's easy. I know Darren on our show has kind of said, well, it seems like nothing will get to him. But how much this can come up and he still remain on the sidelines?
I think it's a good question for LSU at this point. I mean, as we reported a couple of weeks ago, you know, I got a hold of the letter through Open Records with LSU and the NCAA enforcement staff. Says it has information that he provided or helped arrange for improper benefits to as many as 11 or even 13 players, prospects, you know, some of which ended up at LSU, some of which didn't. You know, and he has not cooperated during the investigation. It took his attorneys 13 months to turn over cell phone records to the enforcement staff. Once they did get the records, they were disorganized and incomplete. You know, it seems to be a pretty good stall game that's working for him. Look, I mean, the allegations have been out there for 2 years now, more than 2 years, since September of 2017. And he still got a job, and the other coaches involved, Bill Self still got a job, Sean Miller still got a job. So, you know, it's moving at a glacial pace. I do think we'll see some movement in the next few months with it. You know, this independent accountability resolution process that they came up with more than a year ago, I think has only added layers of red tape to it. You know, most of these cases are with a committee that is an independent committee right now that has to decide whether or not the investigation is complete, whether additional investigation is needed. That can take a couple of months. and then it goes in front of the IARP, which, you know, will hear the case and decide what penalties, if any, are needed. But these are all, you know, Arizona, Kansas, NC State, LSU, potentially Auburn, maybe Alabama, you know, has been kind of on the periphery. I think the majority of them involve multiple level one cases, and these coaches could be hit with one-year show causes or worse.
We're talking some college sports with Mark Schlabaugh of ESPN, and going back to your football predictions, this time in the ACC, Clemson, everybody picks Clemson, and as they should. I mean, they Trevor Lawrence, the best player in the country, but you seem very high on North Carolina, and I find that to be interesting because Mack Brown, he comes out of the TV booth, he goes to North Carolina, really liked what he did in his first year, but you have them finishing third in the ACC, including a couple of upset wins. What is it that you like so much about the Tar Heels?
I really like Sam Howell, the quarterback, who was phenomenal as a freshman last year. The two receivers they've got coming back are really good players, two of the best, probably maybe the best tandem of receivers in that league, Newsom and Brown. You know, a little bit younger on the offensive line, particularly on the left side. But, you know, I thought Mack was going to North Carolina to kind of stabilize the program after Larry Fedora and just kind of be a placeholder, get everything right, and then bring in a young guy. But, I mean, I was wrong. I mean, he's the way he and his staff have recruited in the first couple of years and, you know, what they did last year, and they should have beaten Clemson last year, had a chance to beat him at the end and didn't get the two-point conversion. I think what he's built at North Carolina has got a chance to be pretty special.
You also mentioned that one of those upsets would be Notre Dame that joins the ACC this year, and I think that's going to be fun because the ACC, I mean, it's been pretty top-heavy with Clemson. I know when Jimbo was there, Florida State was kind of up top, but what do you make of Notre Dame being a part of this this season, and what do you make of the matchup they're going to have with Clemson?
I think it'll be fun. You know, it's the first time in more than 100 years that Notre Dame's been in a conference. It took a global pandemic to make it happen. But, you know, they've been playing six ACC games a year as kind of a pseudo member. I think Clemson goes up to Notre Dame. I actually had Notre Dame winning that game in an upset and ending Clemson's 28-game win streak against conference foes, which would be pretty ironic. But, you know, I like Ian Book at quarterback. The offensive line's pretty solid with Tommy Kramer and Eichenberg at left tackle. They need to establish a workhorse back, but you know the defense is good. Kyle Hamilton at safety, he's got a chance to be an All-American. Sean Crawford's a good player. Daylon Hayes, the defensive end, is a good pass rusher. You know, I think Notre Dame's got a chance to be right there in the mix. You know, I think even if they lose to Clemson during the regular season, they can come back and have a chance to beat them in the ACC championship game and be right there in the mix for a college football playoff spot.
Mark, every year when, you know, you do predictions, everybody will go, all right, this coach, you know, could win coach of the year. This coach is on the hot seat. But for the ones that are on the hot seat, and you have Will Muschamp out of the SEC as being a possibility there, Tom Herman in the Big 12, do you think because of the uncertainty and the all-conference schedule, do you think some of these coaches might get a little bit of a pass, or is it as ADs and presidents look, it's still going to be business as usual?
I think it would take a complete train wreck or one booster walking up with a check to pay out the buyout for a coach to get fired this year. Muschamp would be on the hot seat in any other year, but I think South Carolina would owe him $13 million to buy him out. And I just think with the current state of college athletics, even in the Power Five conferences and the SEC, with as much money as they've lost, I just think it would be so irresponsible to fire a head coach and pay him, you know, millions of dollars to go away. I think the fan bases and the athletic directors are just going to have to stomach it. And I think the majority of these guys are going to get the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, it's hard to criticize a guy for losing this year when it's been such a truncated process and you didn't have spring practice in most cases and missed summer workouts. And I just think you do the best you can do. I mean, I was really surprised that Southern Miss lacked one game before Jay Hobson is out. But from what I've read and understand, you know, he went to the AD and said he wanted to step away. So I think that'll be a rarity.
Mark Schlabaugh with ESPN here with us. Hey, we appreciate the time as always. We'll be watching. It's going to be a crazy season, but we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too, Mark Schlabaugh of ESPN. We'll have much more coming, including silly underdog picks at high noon here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Some NFL Films music. It's opening day. Let's get excited. This is one of my faves. This is Super Bowl 12. Picture the first Super Bowl indoors. The Louisiana Superdome. Back then, brand new, state-of-the-art. Dallas Cowboys and the Orange Crush, Denver Broncos. An easy win for Tom Landry and company. And the Doomsday defense shines. That brings back memories to me. We're going to be playing some NFL Films music this fine opening day with the Chiefs and the Texans going at it tonight. Guys, I got a little goosebumps when I hear some of that music. We're going to hear some more.
I know. It's good stuff, and it's getting us in, you know, in the mood for tonight, Chiefs and Texans. And luckily, they will kick off a lot earlier than the Titans and the Broncos. The Titans and Broncos will kick off at midnight on Monday night, so make sure you take a nap when you get home from work on Monday. Honestly, I think that game is set to kick close to 9:30.
It's going to be late.
It's going to be late.
But it'll be the debut of the new Monday night team led by Steve Levy. So what a fun night.
I know. My son is still bummed at that on a school night. You know, he's been looking forward to this for a long time.
Now
I said, hey, just get the homework done early, man.
Yeah. He should be able to get the homework done, get a little nap in.
And they're still in remote learning, so it gives him a little time to sleep in the morning.
Yeah,
he just kind of fall out of bed and get on the computer for class. So I think he'll find a way.
And one of the kids last night at baseball practice say Wilson County has been remote. I guess they're about ready to go back.
Yeah, it's a slow process. A lot of people are starting to phase in. Yeah, that's a good sign.
Told his son because we went out to eat quick meal after practice and. He said, well, you better enjoy being able to sleep in just a few more times because you're about ready to get back to school.
Yep.
Because they had to do everything virtually or at home remotely. So we are going to make our predictions here in a little bit. Remember, 14 teams getting into the NFL playoffs this year, so you'll need 7 in the AFC, 7 in the NFC. So keep that in mind as you start thinking about your predictions. I'm all set. I feel good about my picks. I do. I've got one, I think, big kaboom in there.
A big
one
kaboom?
One big surprise that'll get your attention.
Okay. A big kaboom.
Yep.
All right.
One, I think, fits into that category of you'll go, whoa, okay. And it's going to be hard, right?
We're never
because
right
it
on these.
Looks, I know, because we – how in the world is it? I mean, it's going to be so difficult to truly predict how this season plays out, right?
I think so.
It
with
is every
so
year.
Much uncertainty. No, I know, but with so
especially
much
this
uncertainty,
year.
Right? Yeah. You just don't know. But I've got one in
but
there that
give
will
us
get
our,
your attention.
We'll take our shot. I've been studying up, guys. I have. I love it. Sports Illustrated was the first one that I can remember doing this probably about 10, 15 years ago, somewhere around there, while it was still more relevant back when I used to still subscribe to the magazine. And it's been taken over. It's got new ownership. It's just a shell of what it used to be, even though, you know, it's still got that tag. You know, Sports Illustrated will always mean something. But The Athletic has done this too. They've taken a page out of their book and they have anonymous quotes from football people. You don't know who it is. It could be a GM, could be a scout, could be an opposing coach. But they don't put their name on it, so they get unfiltered insight on these teams. And they put it out. You could read these all day. But let's focus in on what they did on the AFC South, because it involves the Texans. We can talk about the Texans who play tonight. And we'll let you know what they said about the Titans. So let's start with the Texans. If I can find it.
Can I do something real quick? Just quiz you guys. This will be fun before we get into this.
I like a good quiz.
Okay, this will be quick, fun.
Well, you know me.
It's NFL. It's top-selling NFL hats. Lids, okay? You know?
Okay.
So I've got the top 10 current right now in sales. People going in and sporting good places and buying for pro shops or online and buying NFL hats. Well, I'll just let you guys go back and forth.
It's if a player?
No, it's a team. A the team. Teams. The top 10 selling teams in the NFL as of today. And this is
since when?
This is according to Lids. Lids is a hat store.
Yep. For the year 2020 or?
For 2020.
Okay.
Okay, I'll lead off. Bucks.
Bucks is a really good guess, right? With everything they've done, can you believe it's not in the top 10? Like, how shameful is that?
Figure they would be.
I thought they would be for sure in there. Nope.
Always go with the Cowboys.
Cowboys, he says, always go with them, and you should, because they're number one.
Okay.
Number
Makes
one.
Sense. You know what? I still think they're hanging around. Patriots.
Patriots have slipped to number four.
All right. So we have one and four.
Willie.
Steelers.
Steelers. When in doubt, go with the Steelers. They're seventh. A little bit lower than I thought they would be. Seventh. So you got one, four, and seven. Chase.
Dolphins.
Dolphins. That's two strikes for you. Willie.
Raiders.
Raiders have moved up in the poll, moving to Las Vegas, have jumped their sales all the way to number two. They passed the number three team and the Patriots to jump into number two. So Willie has nailed one and two. You've also hit with four and seven.
I got four.
Yep.
Niners.
Niners are number three.
All right.
That's the team. Raiders jumped the Niners and the Patriots up to two. So Cowboys, Raiders, 49ers, Patriots are the top four. You need five and six. Steelers are seven. You need eight, nine, and ten.
I'll take a flyer on the Rams.
A flyer on the Rams, survey says.
Oh, come on. What kind of fan base? It's a huge
First
city.
Strike. Buy
it's some
LA.
Hats.
You should know better.
Buy a hat.
They don't
Buy
care.
Hats.
Buy a hat.
We know
it's
LA
a big city.
Doesn't care.
You got a hats new team. Support your team. Come on.
How about the
making me look bad.
How about the Green Bay Packers?
I'm surprised.
You always got
Green Bay. Right. They're in there, but they're I'm surprised there. They're number 10.
Oh.
I thought they would be a lot higher.
Oh. Okay.
So I guess the Jordan Love pick did not skyrocket more lids.
I'll take the Browns.
Browns, great guess, right? Strike two.
Come on. What's wrong with the Browns fans? They never give up hope. They're
two
the best fans going.
Two strikes for Willie. Two strikes for Chase.
Oh, this you is like Family
three,
Feud. You get three,
right,
you're out.
Three, you're out. So okay. The winner. Well, whoever gets the third strike is out. The other one will be declared the winner.
Top 10 answers on
Chase.
The board.
The New Orleans Saints.
The New Orleans Saints.
That's
is Chase
guess.
Still
That's
alive?
That's in there. He's in there.
What?
Not
in there.
Come on.
It's over.
What's wrong with the Saints fans?
Chase,
where
get
are
out
you?
Of here. Willie,
come
$178.
Holy
the Donick family wins.
I win?
They're not in there.
The Bears. Bears, number five. Seattle. Six.
Yeah, that was my next one, Seattle.
Steelers, seven, which you guessed. Eagles, 8. Packers are 10. Who's 9? The opponent of the Titans on Monday night.
The Denver Broncos.
The Denver Broncos.
So the Chiefs are not in the top 10.
The Chiefs are not in the top 10. The Bucks are not in the top 10. The Browns are not in the top 10. How about that? The Titans are not in the top 10.
Maybe they're buying jerseys and not buying hats. I don't know.
Guess so. So I thought we'd have a little fun with that. Okay.
That's good.
Back to regularly scheduled program.
Okay. Well, this is what we got. All right. So here's the Texans scouting report. And this is anonymous people. You don't know who they are. They're football people. They're scouts, coaches, GMs. All indications say the Texans should take a step back, but never underestimate a good coach like Bill O'Brien.
What?
So, good coach. Good coach.
What did you say,
Chase? Coach.
I mean, Willie, what did you say?
Coach. A good coach like Bill O'Brien.
Oh.
Not GM.
Wow.
They've still got Deshaun Watson. They've still got him. He's a heck of a football player. Athletic. Accurate. Keeps plays alive. They add Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb. You've got Kiki Kute. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Will Fuller. Kenny Stills. Plenty of guys who can get open and catch the ball. On defense, they've obviously got J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus. Now you add Ross Blacklock. He's a good football player. We liked him coming out. They add Jonathan Greenard. Brennan Scarlett is a good role player for them. Zach Cunningham and Benardrick McKinney, that's a really good tandem at linebacker. Justin Reed at safety, a really good football player. And then we'll see. But so I am surprised how many people still have the Texans in the mix in the AFC South to win the division.
All the predictions I've seen have either Titans or Colts. See those.
Most do. In the NFL Network, though, I was watching their predictions. They had a couple people take the Texans. That's kind of the question. Deshaun is still there.
Well, they also they've won the division how many times, Chase?
Several.
We've talked about this.
Yeah.
They've won a lot of division titles here lately. That's probably they're getting that kiss. I don't think, well, I shouldn't say, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to reveal anything, but I think there's a chance that comes to a screeching halt this year.
Here's an intriguing one on the Jaguars. In the whole, are they tanking? I think we have this in our mind that they're going to be 2-14 or something like that. Because that's what it would take. You got to be in that range to get the number one pick. If you really want Trevor Lawrence, you got to be really bad. So here's the scouting report. Here's the unnamed guy. They still got a lot of good football players on the team. I can't speak to the locker room. I've never been in it. But I think they do have good players. They added some pieces on defense, fast defense, pass rushers in Josh Allen, speed at linebacker with Joe Schobert and Miles Jack. And they've got some playmakers on offense. They love DJ Chark, for example. So,
as do I
don't know how bad they're going to be. I don't think they're going to be great. But could they be that bad that they would get to Trevor Lawrence? Or are we talking like a 4-5 win team that would have you picking, you know, 5th to 7th, which won't get you Trevor Lawrence unless you are willing to give up a ton? That's a key question for them.
I think they're going to be that bad.
You think they're going to be that bad?
I do. They're the Jags. Before all this, they're the Jags. Then look what all they've done or who they've gotten rid of.
Yeah, because they were already bad. I mean,
right, they're already bad just being the Jags. And then you trade away Calais Campbell and, I mean, Nick Foles. I mean, come on.
Ngakoue.
Leonard Fournette.
Yep.
Ngakoue. I mean, I've lost track. Yeah, no, I'm still predicting they are absolutely going to be in the mix for the number one pick in the draft.
They view Gardner Minshew, high-level backup, low-level starter. Moxie, instincts, but he's not quite what you need from a starter. But the question is, how bad is he? Because that is going to determine, do they win 5 or do they win 2? So that's something to watch throughout the season. All right, here's the Colts, and then we'll get to the Titans. Their offensive line is the strength and identity of the team. And I think they have potential at receiver. They've got two quality players in Marlon Mack and Jonathan Taylor. I'm sure they're going to run the ball and protect Phillip Rivers. He's always been fairly immobile, but now he's more immobile than ever. I think he finds ways to make plays. This is about Rivers. He's still savvy, still tough, still instinctive. DeForest Buckner, he's a problem. Just a really good football player. He's going to help that defense a lot. Justin Houston, I think his track record speaks for itself. I really like the young linebacking core. Then Xavier Rhodes gives them a good physical corner. So we focus a lot on what Phillip Rivers is going to do for the Colts, which is a major, major factor. But I think this concurs with a lot of the predictions we've heard about the Colts. The rest of their roster is very, very sound, if not spectacular. The defense could be really good. So that's to me a team to really focus on. It's a really good defense.
They've as you just named a couple. They've had some big additions. Big.
Those are big names.
Yes.
And that's what they haven't had. They've been solid on D, but not those needle movers, right? So that we'll see what that looks like, because the Titans added what they hope is a needle mover in their stable. So let's get to the Titans. I don't think – this is all from The Athletic in their scouting report of the anonymous sources, football people. Titans, quote, "I don't think Ryan Tannehill is as good as he was last year. That was a statistical anomaly. But I think that his physical skill set is pretty good. He's a really good athlete. He's got a strong arm. He's mobile. Derrick Henry's been productive really since high school, going to Alabama, getting in the league. But his style is rugged. He takes a lot of hits. Good scheme, versatile players, physical, and then I think this is the line that stands out to me. Some greater than the parts. Mike Vrabel will cook up some stuff and scheme pressures on defense. They'll be sound. I think Clowney would solve a hole. I don't think Vic Beasley does. It was more of a flyer, and it was an expensive one." So, very skeptical.
I mean, is he even going to play Monday?
Well,
we haven't really even talked about it. Is
practice.
He going to play?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think it's such an interesting conversation that we talked about yesterday, that Clowney
with the snap counts, yeah,
played 46 snaps in his first game with Seattle after being there for a little over a week. It's about the same here with the Titans, and yet we're having the conversation: is Vic Beasley going to play?
Right. Yeah, I think. And he signed when?
He's a $9 million flyer. Yeah,
March.
That's right now. The expectations are pretty low. Whatever you get from him would be
gravy.
Yeah,
but that's not good.
That's not good. But it does happen sometimes where you got to sink, you swallow the pill in the effort to help what is a hole.
But that is a problem. That was something they were trying to fix.
Of course.
And out of the gates, you can't pull the ripcord before you've played a game, but it certainly has not been the start you're looking for before you actually start. It has been nothing but really a disaster
for the most part.
But it is early. I mean, it is hard to think this guy is going to factor into really helping this team, but who knows?
I'm going to go back to the philosophy of Floyd Reese. He said, if you have holes all over the roster, it's hard to just start plugging holes with free agency. But if you have one area that you focus in and try to fix it with free agency, that's a sound approach. And that's what they have done here. They identified pass rush as a big area of focus. It's pretty clear, right? In free agency, they didn't get what they needed through the draft, so they went Clowney, they went Beasley, and we'll see what they get from that. What is it? $20-21 million, depends on how many incentives, I guess, Clowney hits. So it's about a $20 million-plus investment to try to fix the one hole that was outstanding.
And if Clowney hits, then we'll bring up Beasley because it's $9 million. I mean, I don't think you can completely ignore it, but
it'll get pushed back.
It will, but
every team has bad investments somewhere along the line.
Right, but if you're looking at John Robinson's resume and you're going, all right, here's the check marks and here are the X's, some of these free agent signings are X's. And I know you're not going to hit on all of them, but there have been some that you go, I question that. And that Beasley could be, we don't know. He hadn't played yet. Beasley could be in that category. We know Lewis was. So, I just wonder. And if Clowney hits, then everybody feels better. But it's something to pay attention to.
Here's another tidbit on the Titans from The Athletic, an unnamed source, because it speaks right to what we're talking about with the pass rush. If you can block them up and you have speed at receiver and you have a talented passer, you can throw on them. Now, that's a lot of ifs, right? That's basically saying that if you have an elite offense, because I think this is the label. I think the Titans are pretty good, or have been pretty good, at handling the average to below average offenses, for the most part. But the Patrick Mahomes, the elite offenses, have had their way. But, of course, they came up with the great performance against the Ravens last year, so they're capable. Their schemes aren't simple. You got to make sure your offensive line is in concert. Check the mic point. I guess that's the linebacker. Make sure you're sound. And if you're in protection, you can throw on them. In other words, they scheme their way to success. And that is what I think was asked a lot of Mike Vrabel yesterday, is, you know, with Clowney, hopefully, and maybe with Beasley in this new mix, do you hope to be able to get more push without having to bring the extra guys, right? That'll be a major question for the defense. Can you get some pressure on the quarterback with four people and not have to bring five or six too much?
Just in, guys, they have approved, TDOT has approved that there will be closures to vehicle traffic downtown between 4th and 5th Avenues, and that's from 6 to 11 p.m. on Fridays and Saturday nights. I think this is a lot like the DH in the National League. I don't know why this doesn't become permanent on Friday and Saturday nights, personally.
Talking Broadway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the best way to go.
They need to, especially during these times. I mean, obviously, you're trying to open it up for.
That's a no-brainer.
Allow more. So this is a no-brainer, and quite honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it just stays that way, and it probably should. No cars through there. I just think they need to close down certain areas of Broadway and just let people walk.
I agree. It works in Beale Street, on Beale Street.
And I don't even care, because I don't. Those days are behind me. But I just think that makes too much sense. Somebody like you, Chase, you should probably push for that.
Yeah, well, I'm near retirement, but yes.
Really? Whoa, wait a minute. Really?
Yeah.
That's the first time you've said that word.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
Every now and then, it's, you know, once
you got caught up in the moment.
No, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't missed Nashville nights all that much. I have a little bit, but the headache, you know, there's a headache the next day.
So what you're saying is you're Tom Brady and Drew Brees. You're not quite retired yet, but give it some time.
Yeah. We'll see.
I think this is more like a Jimmy Johnson. I think when you officially retire, you're going to come back, you know, in just a different circuit. You're like, hey, I'm not doing Friday and Saturdays. I'm going to be Friday only. That type of deal.
Potentially, but I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see.
We'll come back. We'll talk to the GM, Floyd Reese, to kick off the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.